Talking Business on Radio Q.
Joining me now is James Taylor, the Managing Director of ANC. Hi, James.
Thanks, Alan.
ANC being a courier or delivery business that goes way back to the 1920s.
That's correct, Alan. Look, we were a courier company, a small courier company, and we started in the 1920s. But today we're considerably different. We're 800 plus people in each metropolitan city, and we supply dedicated fleets for corporate clients such as, you know, Telstra and Fuji Xerox and Cement Australia. And we also supply dedicated fleets for our retail clients for home delivery such as IKEA and Bunnings and Williams-Sonoma and JB Hi-Fi.
So when you say dedicated fleet, do you mean they're kind of, the vans are labelled with Telstra or whoever the client is?
No, they have our branding on them, but they're dedicated to those clients.
Right, okay. So you're not a courier company that I can ring up and get you to deliver a parcel for me?
No, we used to be that, but we're not anymore.
I see, right. So give us a bit of the history. I mean, it's interesting. I note that in the history of the business, there was what's called a consolidation phase in the 2010, so it's, I guess, not that long ago, when the majority shareholder progressively acquired 100%. So who was that and who did they acquire it from?
Well, Alan, that's my family. Family orientated business. We were actually in a range of industries, hotels, retail, that sort of thing. We progressively divested ourselves of those assets and focused on the transport sector. And in the some years ago, we set up a conglomeration where we marketed nationally for courier services, and then progressively we purchased those businesses and have transformed them into a metropolitan distribution organisation rather than a courier company.
So, how many shareholders of ANC were there before your family took it over?
There were four.
Oh, I see. Right, and your family, the Taylors, just bought out the others.
That's correct.
Right, and what does your family look like? Are you the? Was it you personally and your wife who bought it out?
No, it's my brother, my two sisters, and I. And I'm the only active sibling in the business. And we report each quarter to the shareholders, the CEO and myself, and our CFO report each quarter to the shareholders.
And the shareholders being your siblings.
That's correct. And it's a very corporate arrangement. We pride ourselves on being very focused on the business and the customer experience. So.
And was your family involved in the foundation of the business back in the 20s?
No, that was founded by a guy called Edward Fleet, and then my father purchased it in the 60s.
That's an apt name, Fleet.
Yes.
Excellent name for a courier company. That's great.
Well, we used to be Fleet's Flyers, so it was...
Fleet's? Yeah. Could have been Fleet's Fleet.
It could have been.
So tell us how the courier or the delivery business is changing, because it is changing. It's certainly becoming, more and more stuff is being delivered nowadays.
Well, look, there's massive change and, it's really exciting, daunting and exciting. So we've been very particular in focusing on what we call more difficult deliveries. So the non-commercial sector, as I call it, anything under 20 kilos, can be delivered by anyone in any vehicle. You don't need to be a delivery professional. You don't need to have any form of manual handling experience, any of those things. And we've seen what the Uber platform has done in the taxi industry. And Uber Rush is coming to Australia. It's just timing. And they're going to have a significant impact on that small end of the market.
Well, indeed. So do you think Uber and businesses like that are going to end up taking over small deliveries?
They'll certainly have a significant impact. And I think you've spoken in the past about the sharing economy and how people value their labour in that economy. And it's completely different from the corporate world. And so I would expect a significant shift downward in prices for those smaller deliveries, those non-commercial deliveries.
And at the other end, there's Amazon. What sort of impact is that likely to have?
Well, it's going to be wonderful for the consumer, and I'm looking forward to it. And it's going to be fantastic for transport companies who really want to look at that, as Jeff Bezos said, that customer obsession. So we're very focused on the delivery experience and the customer experience, and we'd be, you know, looking forward to talking to them.
Well, that could be a challenge for you. If they don't decide to use you, you're in strife, aren't you?
No, I don't think so. Look, we very much see ourselves as brand protectors. We recognise that when we walk in the door representing someone like IKEA or Bunnings or Cement Australia, that we are protecting their brand and we're representing them. And we know that if we do a poor job, you don't remember ANC, you remember that brand. And those brands have maybe spent millions or billions on their brand. So it's a onerous responsibility and we're very conscious of it.
You wrote a piece recently for a website called Procurement and Supply, in which you talked about how Australian businesses need to Amazon-proof their businesses. How should they do that?
Well, it's an interesting piece. The transport sector is very commoditized, so they're very much look at the pickup from A, deliver to B. And look, that's fantastic and it's important, but that's only one piece of the equation. And we measure that using DIFOD, delivered in full and on time. But a much more important measure is what the customer experience is, and that looks across the whole supply chain. So if you do a really good job in terms of delivering in full and on time and you have a great customer experience, the back end of house, you know, the losses, the damages, all of those things that are hidden, you don't have those expenses. In just a transactional approach, you often focus just on the delivery, and yet the back of house is often hidden. Restocking costs, customer service issues, damage to brand. So we look at the whole piece, not just the transport piece. So the procurement part was very much about talking to people about just don't look at the transactional piece of transport, look at the whole cost of the delivery, including the back of house.
Well, I guess that's what Amazon does, isn't it? I mean, they've kind of revolutionised the whole supply chain for consumers.
Absolutely, and they're very focused on it, and it's a wonderful piece for the Australian consumer, and there's going to be a lot more activity in. I mean, everything you touch in a store has been delivered by the transport sector at some stage, so it's a big piece of work.
In fact, in that article that I mentioned, you said, if a business decides it wants to stand alone from Amazon, the likelihood is they won't be able to compete with the product offering.
No, I think that's correct, but they have to compete on service. So you've got to maintain that wonderful customer experience. And as brand protectors of people like the IKEAs of the world, we expect to have a very positive impact on their experience and their competition with Amazon.
But are you thinking you're going to be able to play both sides of the street, that you'll be able to continue to work for Bunnings and IKEA, Fantastic Furniture and so on, and with Amazon?
Certainly. The solutions that we put together are not standard, so they're absolutely unique for every client. So they're completely different and unique, and I wouldn't expect that it'd be any different from the likes of Amazon. And they're not going to use one supplier. They're going to use a plethora of suppliers based on their requirements.
One of the things I've heard about Amazon is that they're probably only going to build one distribution centre in Australia, so therefore the delivery to the places that aren't close to that aren't going to be quite so quick. Is that a simplistic view of it?
Well, geographically we're huge and the population is concentrated on the East Coast, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays.
It will indeed. One of the customers that you name as that you have is Cement Australia. What do you do for them? Do you deliver bags of cement?
We do. We deliver bags of cement to their customers in pallets and single bags. So we've been doing that for some time.
Well, that's definitely not an under 20 kilogram delivery.
No, and you definitely need a professional, a delivery professional and a commercial vehicle and all of those manual handling and training, and you need all of that suite.
And so what's the long-term plan for your business, James, to remain in the family, or do you think at some point you'll float it or do something else?
Well, look, we're growing really solidly, around 16% per year.
What sort of revenue do you have now?
This year we're going to land on our targets of $79 million, we grew 16%, so that was from a base of about 68, and we're forecasting for year-ending 18 around 90 to 91. So we have no plans to do an IPO or anything like that. We fund internally, we have no debt, we are conservative, we have a strong balance sheet, and we're going to continue to move forward.
Right, so family does everybody, you and your siblings, have another generation coming up that will be able to move into the business?
Well, we'll see what happens. If they want positions within the organisation, they'll have to apply and go through the normal process. And if they're skilled enough and they have the passion and the interest, then they may get a position. We'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, but they'll end up owning it, James.
They will, but I've got a few years left yet, Alan.
That's true. I'm sure you do. Well, it's been great talking to you, James. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much for having me, Alan.
I've been talking to James Taylor, the Managing Director of ANC.